It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I just want to put it out there that Wisconsin Public Radio is in our spring member drive, and your gift right now supports the morning show. It supports all the other WPR programs you rely on today and every single day. So join in with your gift now. That number is 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Right now, we have the Secretary of the Department of Administration, Jill Brennan, on the line. And I have to level with you, our show has made a concerted effort to hear from every single one of Governor Evers' 16 cabinet secretaries and allow you to field questions to them. Some secretaries we've heard on multiple times, and we have one left. I have to say it, Insurance Commissioner Mark Affably, you will hear from us. We'll save the best for last. How about? So today, though, we're in the DOA, the Department of Administration, which has a bunch of roles, including helping the governor craft and carry out a state budget. What do you want to know about the inner workings of the budget process in the DOA? We're at 800-642-1234. Joel Brennan is the Secretary of the Department of Administration. He formerly served as CEO of Discovery World in Milwaukee since 2007. Secretary Brennan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Kate, it's a pleasure to join you.
So
I take no offense at being one of the last, so I just want you to know that.
All right, fair enough. But what is your department's primary function during this crisis? Because you have your feelers in so many things.
Yeah, well, as you said, the department has a wide range of things that we do. One of the biggest things is we really are the human resources infrastructure for all of state government. So there are about 35,000 state employees, and a big role that we have had is how do we transition the lion's share of those employees to be able to work remotely, to continue the work that they're doing, important work for the state, but to do it largely at home. We manage all the buildings and the fleet for the state. As you said, we do the state budget. We do a lot of programs related to low-income energy assistance. We regulate the Indian gaming throughout the state, and we do a lot of work with the IT infrastructure. So all of those things, as is the case in every corner of Wisconsin, all of those things have had some impact from COVID-19. And a lot of what we have done is to try to support the infrastructure that's been set up through the Department of Health Services, through Wisconsin Emergency Management, to ensure that the state's emergency response to this can be as effective as possible. So that takes a wide variety of roles and a wide variety of stretching people in directions maybe that they never dreamed of even just a few months ago.
I can't imagine how making priorities and shifting priorities must be a huge challenge for you. How much of the agency's normal services get backburnered right now to really focus on the coronavirus-related duties and the emergency work that needs to take precedence?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that a good number of the high-level staff at the Department of Administration have been kind of sucked into the State Emergency Operations Center and are doing work there, which is, I'm proud of that, and people across the state ought to be proud that this is a time when people who are in state service are kind of, they're being called and they're rising to the occasion. And so a lot of that work, a lot of the infrastructure that we have in the department is being moved over. Just in the last several days, 25 employees who work across different divisions within the Department of Administration have become part of the state's infrastructure for contact tracing, for, you know, looking at people who are diagnosed with COVID-19 and where is that spread, and how can we ensure that any of that spread is as limited as possible. And as you have seen in the last several days, we're making progress. The Safer at Home effort that's been underway now for several weeks has had some very positive influence and positive impact, but we also have to continue that, and we have to be very aggressive in doing that. And that's a role that not only state government is playing, but local elected officials and people in their own homes are playing to ensure that we're doing everything that we can across the state.
Do those 25 employees have the public health skills, the translatable skills that could be help them be those contact tracers?
Well, what those people have are the ability to be well organized, the ability to take good direction, and to be quickly trained in this kind of in the work that's happening. So a lot of what's happening when someone gets diagnosed with COVID-19, a lot of the work that needs to happen is to, you know, see who they have been around in the last several weeks, who potentially could have been exposed, to ensure those people are aware of that. So in some ways, it's a communications role as much as it is a public health role, but it's led by the Department of Health Services, and these people are being managed by the health experts in the state and the emergency management experts to ensure that we are getting absolutely everything that we can out of the people who are in state service. So I think, and these are just a smattering of the hundreds if not and thousands of people who are working across the administration, but also working at other levels of government, the first responders. You know, this is an all hands on deck effort to fight what really amounts to an invisible enemy. And I think people are really rising to that occasion.
Your department manages technology for other state agencies. We've been seeing really stressed out technology because of the demand for services and all services moving online. Where are you seeing some breakdowns, and what are you doing for that?
Well, first of all, I guess I'm proud of the fact that we were able to, in a very short order, move from the ability of having 5 or 10,000 people be able to do most of their work remotely to about 30,000 in very short order. But as you say, there are things that have been stressed, most notably the infrastructure related to unemployment insurance and unemployment compensation. Not only in Wisconsin, but in other states, there has been huge stress that's been put on that. And it's been almost a daily effort to try to ensure that the infrastructure there is sound and that it can hold up to the demand that it's gotten. I think after some initial challenges, and any time you get, you know, there were days where we were getting 24, I think the highest was about 24 or 25,000 claims. That started to settle just a little bit. But for each one of those people, it's an absolutely critical thing that they get to be able to do this. Luckily, we can do a lot of that online, and we've created and improved the infrastructure to be able to do that. We're increasing the number of people who can take phone calls and have personal responses to people who are doing that. Plus, we're also integrating and doing everything we can, and the state legislature now is finally acting to ensure that we can make sure that we're getting all of the resources that are available to people in the state of Wisconsin from the federal level. So it's been working. In a perfect world, we would have had a lot more time and a lot more investment in infrastructure over the last several years and in the last administration to be able to deal with this. But I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to do as much as we can and really be responsive to the needs of the people in the state of Wisconsin.
We're talking with the Secretary for the State Department of Administration. Joel Brennan is with us, and you can join in with your questions about the DOA. What do you want to know about the state budget process, or what questions do you have about the functions of one of state government's largest agencies? Join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Brennan, let's look at construction for a moment. How has the coronavirus affected construction and building projects that were underway before the stay-at-home order was issued?
Well, there are some things that we have decided and for good reason have been moved aside. So, for instance, there were projects that were being done at some of the state healthcare facilities or some of the state prisons. There are 37 different correctional facilities, and there's work that was underway in those places. But the last thing we need to do in places like that is to be bringing additional contractors on site in places like the correctional facilities or healthcare facilities. So some of those things have been modified for the time being. Other projects have continued to move forward. You know, one of the benefits of this, one of the silver linings, you know, if you can find silver linings of these things, is there are empty buildings in other places where there can be work that can go on unabated. Now, every construction project that's still happening has to include, and every contractor still has to ensure that they're doing the social distancing and doing all the things that are necessary to stop the spread of this. But there is still work going on. One of the things I think we're also proud of is that building projects and the way building projects have been bid and things like that have changed really on the fly. There
yeah.
has been telebidding that has happened, and you know, people who are used to doing things and showing up in person have gone to moving all that online, and we've been able to do that in some ways without missing a beat. And I think that's a credit to the industry and the way that they've been able to modify, but also a credit to the people who work on that at the state level to be able to, you know, change direction in very short order and be able to do those things kind of on the fly.
Are contractors able to get the supplies they need to continue these projects if they are able to work in a building that has no people in it?
In the near term, it seems as if they have. But I think there is, we're dealing with the most immediate aspects here, and there will be long-term repercussions of all this too. You know, there are important construction projects. Like, I just had the opportunity yesterday to visit State Fair Park in Milwaukee, the Expo Center, where they're building an alternative care facility, and the unbelievable amount of integration from the federal level through the Army Corps of Engineers to the state, to the contractors who are working on that project. It's amazing what they have been able to do in the course of 10 or 11 days that would take months to do at other times. And it's a testament to the ability of people to work together and the ability of people in times of need to truly kind of put everything else aside for the good of the state of Wisconsin.
So is there an open date on that?
It expects to be open within about a week or 10 days,
okay.
But the construction aspect of it will be completed in very short order, really by the end of this week. And so it's amazing the work that has happened and the timeline that they've been able to operate under.
We have Department of Administration Secretary Joel Brennan on the line taking your questions about a range of things his department touches: budgeting, HR, construction, IT. We're talking about bidding. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Right now we're talking with the Secretary of the Department of Administration, Joel Brennan, is here. The department has a pretty nondescript name, and apparently there's this inside joke that it's known as the Department of All because of its wide scope and its reach. Are you confused about what falls under the DOA umbrella? Do you have questions about budget, IT, or how state buildings or contracts or bidding procurement process works? Bring it on, 800-642-1234, and Secretary Brennan stays with us. Secretary, I hope I didn't misspeak there on the Department of All. Is that true?
It does have that characterization sometimes, simply because we don't have a distinct constituency. Our constituency really is everybody else in state government, all the other agencies, the governor's office, the legislature. So there is a wide range of those, but we've joked within the department. Some of us call it the Department of Awesome. You know, there can be lots of different names for it. But at this time, you know, I mean, that's just a little bit of a joke. But I think at this time, the most important thing is that we're part of the effort that is kind of this all hands on deck effort led by the Department of Health Services in the public health emergency that we're doing now, and we have to take every angle and every opportunity, every asset that we have, and just to make sure that we're doing it and applying it to the current problem.
Well, let's look at legislation here for a moment and the relief package on deck. The governor and Republican leaders are proposing different legislation to help people through this time. What legislation do you think needs to be brought forth first?
Well, the legislature took a step forward yesterday because the Assembly passed a bill yesterday. The Senate will be in today. And there are things in that package that the governor has been talking about for more than a month. Very important things like the waiver of the 1 week waiting period for people to get unemployment compensation. And about 2 weeks ago, Wisconsin was one of 40 states that had that. As of a few days ago, there were eight, maybe less than eight that were in that. And Wisconsin was one of the last. And so the governor has been calling for a month for that to be waived so that people can who need absolutely need these resources immediately can get them. And so that's in that package. There is the ability for us to access additional federal money through the Federal Medical Assistance Program that will bring in about $150 million a quarter in additional federal money that the state will be able to gain between now and the end of the year. So those are really important steps, and that's part of the reason why the Assembly passed it like 97-2. And so there was broad bipartisan agreement. Some of the things that are not in there that I think are absolutely going to have to be addressed in the future are direct resources to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation for the small businesses that are hurting. And there are resources that are going to be needed to be deployed on those things. Areas for child care providers and direct assistance for local communities. All of those things are things I think that we may need to come back on in the future. And I hope that the legislature doesn't believe that they're done. They're working in a different way than they have, but they're going to be required to continue to work with the governor and with our administration to ensure that we keep doing these things as long as is necessary. But one of the most important things about that action is we're able to now access some of those federal resources that are coming, and Wisconsin needs to be as flexible and as aggressive as we can be to deploy those resources. So that's one area that we're working, our state budget office, the governor's office is working on, to ensure that as those federal resources through the CARES Act become available, we're able to deploy those absolutely as quickly as possible on the ground in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's shift here to look at Foxconn for a moment. There's a report that says that it hit its hiring mark in 2019 to qualify for millions of dollars in state subsidies. What still needs to happen for Foxconn to get those subsidies?
Well, there was an April 1st deadline that Foxconn had to submit reports to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. They submitted those, I think, on either March 31st or April 1st. The process that now happens is that those get turned over to a third party to look through and compare against the requirements. And that process takes several weeks. And then the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation staff looks at and cross-checks those. And so I think through this time, the most important thing is that there's a process that was laid out in the contract with Foxconn that was signed almost 3 years ago. And that process is being followed by WEDC. And, you know, when they get to the end of that process, there'll be the ability for us to look and see where Foxconn is going. I have been heartened by Foxconn raising their hand in whatever way they can in the state of Wisconsin to try to assist and to offer their assistance. You know, it's important that every employer in the state do everything that they can right now. But in terms of the contract and where we're going with the credits, there'll be a time for more communication about that. But for right now, there's a process that's underway, and that process is happening. And that's the third party doing that assessment is the first step in that.
And really quickly on that note, there's been talk that the plant may be used to make medical equipment by the manufacturer Medtronic to make ventilators. Do you know anything about that, about what is gaining traction there for that plant?
No, I don't know. Okay. More than just the brief conversations we've had about that and the reports that have been in the press about that alliance and that potential allegiance. But okay. Absolutely, you know, as is necessary everywhere around the country, whoever can deploy resources in the manufacture of ventilators and the manufacture of personal protection equipment, all of those things, it's an all hands on deck effort. So whoever can be part of those things, I think we should, in whatever way we can, give them incentive to do that.
Talking with Joel Brennan, Secretary for the State Department of Administration, looking at the roles that the DOA has in the face of this pandemic. Let's take a call now. Leona is in Madison this morning. Hi, Leona.
Hi. I have a situation that about the taxes, and I was informed, or everybody was informed, that the taxes can be done by July the 15th. Problem is, you know, a lot of the offices, you cannot go directly into them, and I'm missing a form. So I don't know what to do and who to contact. Please help me.
Leona, thank you for that call. Secretary Brennan, what about filing taxes right now?
Yeah, so Leona is correct that both at the federal level and we've modeled it at the state level, today's April 15th tax deadline is pushed to July 15th. People still are working at the Department of Revenue. If I can get Leona's contact information, I will connect her directly with the Department of Revenue. If she's missing a state form, she can also, there are, while most people are working remotely, a lot of people at the Department of Revenue are still doing work, and they're making sure that they can be, that they can service constituents as much as possible. So they are doing in-person appointments and doing things by appointment, even in state office buildings that are closed. So if there's a state form that she's missing and she can't access it online, there should be, and there are people who are available to answer those calls and who are providing whatever necessary service to ensure that we continue to do the work that's necessary at the state level.
Before we let you go here, let's look at PPE and the difficulty in procuring personal protective equipment. Who are you getting the equipment for? How is that process going in procuring these essential things?
Well, I can tell you that inside the State Emergency Operations Center, and I'm proud to say these are people who also work within the Department of Administration in our overall procurement effort, but there are people who are working the phones, who are working with local buyers, who are working nationally and internationally, and also working with a collaboration of Midwestern states, so trying to increase the buying power by aligning with Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, others, so that the volume of order that we're having is something that can be taken seriously, because as I think everybody is aware, lots of the personal protection equipment is coming from overseas. Lots of it is manufactured in China. And so there is work that's going on every day. I think there's been we have had success in some fashion in those areas, but it continues to be one of the big strains. There needs to be more PPE. There needs to be a dramatic expansion of testing in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation. And those are just a few of the aspects that are necessary in order to make sure that we're attacking this public health emergency on every level possible.
Secretary Brennan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Joel Brennan, Secretary for the State Department of Administration. Just ahead, we'll bring in a few reporters to discuss how the pandemic is shaking up the sports world. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.